This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington, and coming up on Africa News Tonight.
The migrants who are believed to be from Sudan, who say they're fed up with being blocked by police, have fled up into the hills and are believed to be hiding there with the intention of trying to make the border crossing after dark this evening.
That's reporter Josephine McKenna, who says hundreds of African migrants are hiding in the Italian countryside, hoping to get to France. Details coming up. Also, suicide bomb attacks in Maiduguri in northeastern Nigeria killed 16 people. And for the first time in many years, a South African president may not attend the African Union summit. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, 16 people are dead and 13 injured after a series of suicide bomb attacks in Maiduguri in northeast Nigeria. Reuters quotes police in the Borno state capital as saying a male suicide bomber killed a security guard after entering the University of Maiduguri grounds. About an hour later, at 11:20 p.m., four female suicide bombers killed eight people on the outskirts of the city in the Zanari community in the Gwangi district. They set off their bombs in residential buildings. Then, around 4:20 this morning, local time, two other female suicide bombers blew themselves up again at the University of Maiduguri. In all, 16 people were killed, including the attackers. Boko Haram militants have relied heavily on suicide bombers, especially women and girls, in their recent attacks in Borno State. In related news, eight Chadian soldiers are reported dead and 18 wounded in fighting against the Boko Haram militants over the weekend. AFP quotes a Chadian army spokesman as saying the fighting took place on islands in Lake Chad. The army claims to have killed more than 160 militants. There have been numerous clashes with Boko Haram on the islands since the group began its insurgency in Nigeria in 2009. Chad, Cameroon, Niger, and Benin joined Nigeria in a multi-nation military offensive against the militants several years ago. Hundreds of African migrants are hiding in the Italian hills near the French border, hoping to cross into France and find better living conditions. The migrants had been living in a camp in the Italian town of Ventimiglia before marching towards the French border. Reporter Josephine McKenna is following the story from Rome. She spoke to VOA's Jody Capua.
Ventimiglia is the last town that really divides Italy from France. And many migrants make their way from southern Italy once they've crossed the Mediterranean. Many African migrants in particular make their way to Ventimiglia with the intention of crossing from Italy into France. When I was there a few months ago, there were several hundred in a migrant centre on that border. And many of them make the crossing into France and are sent back to Italy even more than once. Now, today we saw dramatic scenes in this town. It seems that the local mayor has signed some kind of ordinance to try and remove migrants from an encampment in the main river in the town. And the migrants who are believed to be from Sudan, who say they're fed up with being blocked by police, have fled up into the hills and are believed to be hiding there with the intention of trying to make the border crossing after dark this evening. Italian riot police used tear gas to try and disperse the migrants as they gathered in that area, but they seem to have fled the area and made their way up into the hills surrounding the town.
Josephine, how difficult or easy would it be for the migrants to sneak into France?
It's become much more difficult for migrants to cross into France, Switzerland and Austria from Italy. But in particular, on that French border, there's far more security. And the migrants often crossed into France are sent back and they'll try that border crossing several times. Some, as we know, have tried to hide themselves inside trains and trucks to get across the border. Some of them have relatives in France, so they want to try and hook up with those relatives in France. But it's really a very frustrating process, a very dangerous process. When I was there, they spoke to me about their frustration of just trying to leave Italy because many of them don't want to stay in Italy. They don't feel that there's a future here. They don't want to learn Italian and they want to make their way into France or Germany or even as far as the UK to try and start a different life and have a different future.
So if they're up in the hills on the Italian-French border, do they have any supplies or food? Do we know anything about their condition?
Well, it seems that they fled the river area just carrying their shoes and their small possessions. They've been sitting around surrounded by police up until early this morning, and it seems that they have just disappeared, according to the Italian media, and the police are not certain where they are. It's a changing situation and it's really unclear what's going to happen next, but certainly the police are trying to block them from making that journey into France. One of the migrants who has been fleeing the police in that area near Ventimiglia has appealed for the authorities to respect human rights. We're asking to have our human dignity respected. If France pushes us back, Europe must intervene and guarantee our human rights. And that is coming from one of the Sudanese migrants who fled from the encampment in Ventimiglia overnight.
In another matter, Italian police, I believe, today released a video showing the arrest of three suspected people smugglers. Do you have any information on that?
The suspects were picked up among 267 migrants and refugees who arrived in the Sicilian port of Pozzallo aboard a vessel, the Aquarius, which is run by SOS Mediterranean, one of the groups that are very active in saving the migrants who are on those vessels in the Mediterranean. Now, according to police, these alleged smugglers drove a wooden boat and a dinghy from the Libyan coast trying to reach Italy. The alleged traffickers include a 25-year-old Nigerian, a 20-year-old Gambian, and another man from Bangladesh. These are suspected smugglers, and they're among more than 50 that have been detained in this particular part of Italy since the beginning of the year. The migrants who were rescued include pregnant women and children, all coming from Central Africa, and they've been moved to a Pozzallo registration centre to receive first aid and to be identified and transferred to other centres in Italy.
That's reporter Josephine McKenna from Rome. She spoke to VOA's Jody Capua. In Mali, a powerful political group is calling on the government to abandon any efforts, for now, to hold a constitutional referendum. AFP reports the Don't Touch My Constitution group says that no vote should be held until large parts of the country are liberated from jihadist and former rebel control. It also says the proposed constitution should be withdrawn and rewritten. The group is led by former minister Sy Kadiatou Sow, whose nickname is the Iron Lady of Malian politics. Large protests forced the government to postpone a July 9th referendum. It would have enshrined part of a 2015 peace deal into the constitution. However, jihadists did not sign the agreement and have continued to launch attacks in northern Mali. For the first time in many years, a South African president may not attend the African Union summit. The Institute for Security Studies says Jacob Zuma is not likely to attend the summit because it coincides with a very important meeting of the ruling ANC party July 3rd and 4th. Zuma is in a fight for his political life due to a number of scandals and corruption allegations surrounding his presidency. The Institute's analysis says Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa also is not likely to attend. He is one of the frontrunners to replace Zuma at an ANC convention in December. New AU rules compel countries to send a head of state, prime minister, or deputy president to the summit. The analysis says failing to attend could tarnish South Africa's image. You were listening to African News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington. Sixteen past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. Suicide bomb attacks in Maiduguri in northeast Nigeria killed 16 people. Hundreds of African migrants are hiding in the Italian hills, hoping to cross into France. And for the first time in many years, a South African president may not attend the African Union summit. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. The United Nations Population Fund has joined the Malawi government in a mass media campaign to end child marriages. Statistics show that half of girls in Malawi wed before their 18th birthday. That's one of the highest rates of child marriage in the world. From Blantyre, La Mekamasina reports the campaign will largely channel its messages through electronic, print, and social media.
The Legend campaign comes 2 months after Malawi President Peter Mutharika signed a constitutional amendment raising the legal age to marry from 15 to 18 years. Danny Odalo is the resident representative for the UNFPA in Malawi, which is funding the six-month campaign. He says it will help increase chances for girls to continue with their education and prevent complications which young pregnant girls face during delivery.
We are not blind to the fact that Malawi, like many other African countries, face economic difficulties. But the right of girls to education and a better future should not be sacrificed as a result.
Malawi is one of the world's poorest countries, with 65% of its people living below less than $1 a day, according to the World Bank. As a result, some families force their girls into marriage to get dowries to supplement family income. Chimwemwe Banda is the chairperson for the task force that is implementing the campaign. She says it will largely use the privately owned radio station, Zodiac Broadcasting Station, for live and recorded radio programs aimed at discouraging early and forced marriages.
We are also going to amplify the social media campaign, and then we are also not leaving behind the print media advocacy. Change stories to support radio programs that are going to be there.
Managing Director of Zodiac Broadcasting Station, Gospel Kazako, says the campaign would be meaningful if government puts in place policies that would address poverty, which has long forced young girls into marriages.
Policies that are going to encourage investment in education, policies that are going to encourage and promote inclusion of every Malawian into the social and economic circle. We might be talking of child marriages today, but if certain policies are not in place, we'll just be scratching an elephant on the back and will not be able to move.
First Lady Gertrude Mutharika, who is the guest of honor, said the campaign will change negative attitudes that perpetrate child marriages. The UNFPA says if there are enough funds, the six-month-long campaign would be extended to a full year. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre.
Muslims in Burundi are urging President Pierre Nkurunziza to overturn a new law on marriage. The move comes after the president ordered all Burundians to legalize their partnerships before the end of the year. Moses Havyarimana has the story.
For Muslims, the new law is impractical on many levels. For some, it's the cost. The poverty rate, which the World Bank estimates will hit 80% within the next few years, means that the many men cannot afford the legal fees for a marriage ceremony. The law also requires couples to get married by the end of the year or face penalties. Others say the measures undermine the Muslim holy book, the Quran. It allows Muslims to marry up to four wives. Authorities say the law aims to fight gender-based violence and to control the country's rapidly growing population. Sheikh Zuberi Mutembo is a Muslim cleric in Bujumbura. He says the measure contradicts religious teaching.
Zuberi
says that the Quran is the word of God, or as he puts it, God's constitution. He says it allows every Muslim man to marry more than one wife if he is able to fulfill the necessary conditions. Yusuf Salum Makende, who has three wives in the country's capital, explains.
Sharia Islam inasema wanawake wao
watatu. He says Islamic teachings allows a man to marry several wives, but only if the husband can provide each woman with equal love and financial support. Makende also says the law doesn't respect women because it only allows only one wife to be legally recognized. The new measure provides up to 3 months of imprisonment and a fine of between $60 and $200 for those who fail to legalize their marriage. But unless the law is changed, Muslim men say they are forced to choose only one wife as part of the legally recognized union. Martin Nivyabandi is the Burundi Minister of Human Rights and Social Affairs.
Our government, our constitution, is not laid on religious principles. A Muslim in Burundi is like another citizen, and we are under those same law. You are Catholic, you are Protestant, you are Muslim, you must obey the law which is enforced in Burundi.
The government says it will discuss the issue with the Muslim community leaders and try to find a way to implement the law. Moses Havyarimana, VOA Africa, Bujumbura.
In Tanzania, a state-owned newspaper reports the government has threatened to arrest anyone campaigning for gay rights. It also says any members of foreign organizations supporting gay rights may be quickly deported and their NGOs deregistered. AFP reports it's the biggest attack against homosexuals by the Tanzanian government. The Daily News quotes the Interior Minister as saying those who are interested in homosexuality should go and live in countries that entertain such business. Tanzanian President John Magufuli also recently strongly criticized NGOs that support gay rights. Anyone convicted of gay male sex in Tanzania could be sentenced to 30 years to life in prison. However, according to the AFP, there is no such law governing lesbian relations. The International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies estimates that safe burial practices may have helped prevent thousands of cases of Ebola during the epidemic in West Africa between 2013 and 2016. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
More than 11,300 people died from Ebola in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea before this epidemic was brought to a halt in those countries in 2016. Ebola is highly contagious and spread by direct contact with blood or other bodily fluids. Symptoms include a sudden fever, aching muscles, diarrhea, and vomiting. A co-author of the Red Cross Federation study, Amanda McLelland, says the traditional burial practice of washing and touching the dead was a major mode of transmission during the Ebola outbreak in all three countries. While isolating patients is key to preventing the spread of the disease, she says early burial is crucial to keep Ebola in check.
They can really produce super spreading events where we get very large chains of transmission well beyond what a live case would cause in the community. So the infectiousness of the bodies increases. The virus is at its peak when the person dies. So we see much higher transmission from a body than we do from a live person.
McLellan says the Red Cross had to change its approach in dealing with communities that adhered to traditional burial practices. Aid workers stopped talking about management of the remains and instead spoke about safe and dignified burials, she says. Burial teams, she says, composed entirely of local volunteers, gained the trust of affected communities, which was critical to success. In all, the teams provided more than 47,000 safe burials, accounting for more than 50% of all burials in the three countries during the outbreak. This action, she says, may have prevented more than 10,000 people from becoming infected with the virus, which is named for the Congolese River near where it was first identified in 1976. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Misha Dubinsky, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa, a conversation with the Voice of America director, Amanda Bennett, on her recent trip to Africa and VOA's Africa initiatives, including meeting with African government officials, affiliate executives, media members, journalism students, and the African youth.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Tante AU, African Youth, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
reception.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Please join us for a whole half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC GMT. On the internet, you can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog. Visit voaafrica.com and enjoy the show.